we come before you. We ask that you're going to fill each and every one of us with your Holy Spirit. And I pray that you open our eyes that we can see, open our ear that we can hear, open our heart that we can receive your word, and hide your word within our heart so that we won't sin against you. And I pray that you fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we are empowered to do your will and not just be the hearer of your word. And we also want to be the doer of your word, and so that we can see your glory. I pray all this in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So today I talk about God's grace is a threefold. And I say that it's God's grace, that means it's God's gifts. God gives to all. And it's up to you to receive it. But we can't, when God say God give it to you, we can't take it for granted that you automatically receive it. You have to receive it by faith. If you don't have faith, you won't be able to receive it. So the threefold gifts from God to us, and threefold grace from God to us, and we have to receive them by faith. First of all, is God's salvation. God's salvation is recorded in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. Right? So salvation is by grace. This is not from yourself. Salvation is not from yourself. Salvation is a gift of God. And not by work. Salvation is not by work, so that no one can boast, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And once we receive God's salvation by faith, and we become God's son. Second God's grace given to us is the spirit of wisdom and revelation in Ephesians 1:17. Paul saying that, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That is God's spirit. Spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. Not just knowing God, but know God better, so that you know God's hidden secret. Okay? God's secret. And what is that God's secret? Is 3:6. God's secret is the mystery of Christ. It's the mystery of Christ. For through the gospel, the Gentile may be heirs together with Israel and members together of one body and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. If Paul doesn't have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, he won't know God better. Most of the Jewish people, they think God only loved the Jews. But Paul received God's grace and God's gifts and know that God not only loved Jews, also loved the Gentile, as long as they have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why he said the mystery of Christ is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heir together with Israel, members together of one body, according to Ephesians 3:16, and sharer together in a promise in Christ Jesus. That is God's hidden secret. And Paul received this hidden secret by the Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit revealed it to the to Paul. And once Paul knows this secret, so Paul prayed for the church. Paul prayed that not only he received this kind of blessing, he prayed that the Gentile church, the saint in Ephesus, received the same kind of blessing. I just give you the outline first. I go very fast, and then I go back one by one in detail. Point number three. A God's service. If you are able to serve God, and it is God's grace and it's God's gifts to you. If you don't receive God's grace, you will not be able to serve God. So now I go back. It's in this order. Once you become God's son, you have to know God's secret. You cannot be ignorant, because in Hosea 4:6, my people is God's son. They perish, they die, because they are lack of knowledge. Okay? You have to know God. So once you become God's son, you have to know God. You have to know him better. You have to know his will. And finally, once you know his will, you know better that you're going to be his servant. You have to serve God. Okay? Now, in here, God's service, because we are God's workmanship, so there's 2:10 and there's 3:7. So I go back, point by point. So I want you to, the reason why I write this outline, 1, 2, 3, three pair, God's salvation, and then God's Son, God's Spirit, and then God's secret, God's service, and then God's servant. Okay? If I want to help you to remember, 3 G's. Okay? 3 G's. Remember that. Okay, let's turn to Ephesians. Carl, could you read Ephesians chapter 3? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, all the way to 13.
For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation. As I have already written briefly, in reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, that it has now been made revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs, together with Israel, members together of one body, and shares together in the promise of in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be known.
Should be made known.
Should be should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory.
Okay, I tell you the reason why Paul know how to pray for the saint in Ephesus, because he himself received the same kind of blessing by the spirit of wisdom and revelation. In chapter 3, verse 2, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation. Paul, the servant of God, knew the mystery of Christ, not because by human means, by human teaching. No. He received that special kind of knowledge, the hidden secret, by the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So he said in verse 3, that is the mystery made known to me by revelation. Okay? By revelation. And as I have already written briefly, in reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to man in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God to God's holy apostle and prophet. Listen to me in verse 5. The mystery of Christ was not made known to man in other generations, but now the mystery of Christ was made known to Paul, made known to Peter, made known to John, made known to God, holy apostle and prophet. By who? By the Holy Spirit. By the spirit of wisdom, by the spirit of revelation. He received it through the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And he prayed that, Lord, not only give me this kind of special gifts, I pray that you give this kind of gifts to the saint too. That's why in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, I keep asking. The reason why Paul saying that I keep asking, that means you don't just ask once and you will receive it. This is a special kind of gifts. You need to keep asking until you truly receive it. So that's why Paul saying that I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. How did Paul know God better? Because the Holy Spirit revealed the mystery of Christ to him. You understand? Once he knows the mystery of Christ, he received this kind of special blessing, special grace and special gifts. He's a good man. Not that he himself received it and then the rest of you become ignorant. That doesn't please the Father, because he knows what's the Father's will. He knows his Father's intention. In chapter 3, verse 10, God's intention was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the ruler and authority in the heavenly realms. So, he knows the big task ahead of us. Having him himself knowing the mystery of Christ is not good enough. He wants the other people to know it. I want to stop here to give you the reason for that, okay? Could you imagine? Only Paul knows the mystery of Christ and the rest of the people don't know. And as he passed it on, only the first generation Christian understand God's will. The rest of them, they don't understand. Today, if I don't explain it to you, you may not know God's secret. Then you can't pass it on. Once you know it, you want to check it out to see whether what Pastor John is saying is true or not, you got to study it yourself. The reason why I ask you to memorize it, because when you study it yourself, then you know exactly what I say is what God revealed to you. Then you can pass it on to the other generation. You know what? Paul received 100% revelation and wisdom from God. And if he did not make known, if he did keep asking, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. If you people don't know him better, and how can you pass it on? Let's say you only receive 80% of what Paul received, and then you pass it on, maybe you pass along only 60%. After a few generations, after 10 generations, they only know 10% of God's will. Then God's intention is to make known the mystery, the manifold wisdom of God, make known to the what? The ruler and authority in the heavenly realm, right? That people don't know. Can you imagine, right? If a teacher only knows the material 10%, he passes it on to you, you receive 100%, you only get 10%. Is it our job to make sure we know what God's hidden secret? Today I want to talk about three things. I want that to sink into your mind. Follow after me. It is God's grace to you. It is God's gifts to you. Whenever I say God's grace to you, God's gifts to you, doesn't mean that you will receive it automatically. No. You only receive it by faith. By faith mean by praying. By faith mean by asking. By faith, according to Romans 10:14. How can a man call on the Lord if he has no faith in the Lord? If you don't believe in the Lord, if I don't even believe that he gave me this kind of grace, I won't ask him. If I don't even believe that he gave me this kind of gifts, I won't ask him, right? You only receive it by grace. You only receive it by faith, by praying, okay? Moses, could you read that 10:14? Okay, now that you hear that it is God's gifts to you, and you know that now it's God's gift to you, threefold. You know that by hearing it now. If you have faith to receive it, then you should pray. God, give me your salvation, God's salvation, so that I become God's son. God, give me God's spirit. What kind of spirit? Spirit of wisdom and revelation in 1:17. This is how Paul received God's hidden secret, the mystery of Christ, right? Paul received it this way, by the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so he keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better too. Okay? That's how Paul received it, by faith. Okay? Salvation, God's salvation, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourself. Salvation is not from yourself. Salvation is the gifts of God. Not by work, so that no one can boast. In the same way, God's Spirit is also not from yourself. God's Spirit is from God. It's the gifts of God. You understand? You receive God's Spirit not because you do something. It's not because you do the Old Testament, you follow the Old Commandment. You receive God's Spirit by faith. Where does it say? Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians is a book before Ephesians. Chapter 3, verse 3. Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it is really was for nothing, does God give you his Spirit
and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? How did we receive God's Spirit? Moses, according to 3:3-5. Galatians. How do we receive His Spirit? By observing the law or by believe what we heard? By believe what we heard, they mean by faith, right? Okay, listen to me carefully, okay? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. Salvation is by faith, by grace, God's Spirit is by faith and by grace. How do we receive it? How do we receive the Spirit of wisdom and revelation? By asking. I keep asking until I receive it. You don't ask once and receive it because it's so good. This is good stuff. You have to keep asking it. You understand? You don't give up until you receive it. So you write down here Galatians 3:3-5. God's Spirit.
What's the benefit of observing the law?
Paul saying that. Observing the law in that context means by circumcision. So you have to read the context, okay? Because Paul rebuilt them. They forcing the Gentile to circumcise. They thought by observing the law, because in Genesis chapter 17, the Jewish people received that commandment through Abraham, okay? That all Abraham's children has to be circumcised, according to Genesis chapter 17, by observing the law. Circumcision is a sign. It's a sign that you are going to follow, observe God's command. Okay? But we know that by circumcision itself will not help you to observe the law. Only when you have the Holy Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit will be able to help you to observe God's word. You understand? Now, do I make myself clear? God's salvation is not from yourself. God's salvation is from God. Otherwise, I won't say God's salvation. God's salvation is the gifts of God. It's God's grace to you. It's God's gifts to you. If you do not have that God's salvation, don't ever tell me you have God's Spirit. Okay? You have that God's salvation first to become God's son, then you have God's Spirit. But having the God's Spirit marked in you, according to Ephesians chapter 1, 13 to 14, is not good enough. Marked with the Holy Spirit is not good enough. You got to have the Spirit of wisdom and revelation and 1:17. Only 1:13 and 14 is not good enough. You have to proceed in 1:17 to know Him better. Just like a company. Setting up a company is hard enough. But setting up a company doesn't guarantee you the company will survive. If you don't improve your company, make changes, 10 years later, your company will close down. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? Okay? So we have to know God better. Ask God to give us the Spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know Him better. And that's how Paul knows God better in chapter 3. Because God gave him the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, reveal the mystery of Christ, the mystery of the gospel to Paul. So that Paul knows that through the gospel, chapter 3, verse 6, for through the gospel, the Gentile are heirs together with Israel and member together of one body, and share together in the promise in Christ Jesus. He knows God, Paul knows that God's secret, God's mystery, because the spirit of wisdom and revelation revealed to Paul while Paul is in prison. Okay? Now talk about God. Paul in prison, I give you three other reasons. Three reasons why Paul was locked up in prison. 3:1, 4:1, and 6:20. Three reasons. 3:1, he was locked up for the Gentile, for the sake of Gentile. The reason why he say for the sake of Gentile, because if he wasn't locked up, he won't know the hidden secret of God. He won't know the mystery of Christ. The reason why he was locked up, so that he have a quiet spirit, he take a rest in the prison, so that God can talk to him through the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So, I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, for the sake of you Gentile. Okay? The reason why he was locked up, because it's not because he was, it's not because he sins against God. The reason why he was locked up, because so that God can talk to him, can speak to him. He won't be busy around to moving from church to church to do preaching, because God wants to use this instrument to a greater task, so that he can write the book of Ephesians, the book of Colossians, and the book of Philippians. Okay? Three prison epistles, three letters written to three different churches while Paul was in prison. That's a special reason why Paul was locked up. Paul was locked up for the blessing of the Gentile, for the blessing for the future churches. Okay? Second reason, he was locked up for the Lord. 4:1. And thirdly, he was locked up for the gospel, so that he know fully what the gospel means to him and to the churches, especially to Gentile. So, could you read that? Donald, I want you to read it. 3:1, 4:1, 6:20. And then I want Moses to read it also. I want that to sing into your mind. Okay, listen to me very carefully. If you don't read the scripture, you say, wow, take a look, Paul. And if he's greatly used by God, how come God cannot release him from the prison? That's a special reason. It's a special grace that Paul received from Jesus Christ that he was locked up. He suffered for the church. He suffered for Gentile. He suffered for the Lord. He suffered for the gospel. If he's moving around from church to church, he's dealing with human beings all the time, he won't have the time and the privilege to be able to be quiet down, to listen to the small voice of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit cannot talk to you. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Maybe you should be locked up too.
You want me to lock up?
Yeah. Stop moving around from church to church, you know. St. Albert, Spruce Grove, Sherwood Park, the Duke.
The Duke. Okay. Okay. Wow. So you want me to write a book? Well, we have already 100% revelation already. You don't need to write any more books, okay? That guy, he want me to get locked up. Oh, man. Okay, read that. Donald, read it. 3:1, 4:1, 6:20. I want you to memorize it. So that according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we live by faith and not by sight. By sight, we think, well, Peter is better than Paul. By faith, we find out that Paul is better than Peter. Peter wasn't locked up. He traveled from church to church. He only write two books, First Peter and Second Peter. Not in the early part of his ministry, but on the latter part of his ministry before he died. And he traveled from church to church. When he go to every church, Christian church, and people will read epistle written by Paul. Can you see how sad he is? He's supposed to be an apostle, right? Pillar of the church. And yet, when he visits all their churches, and they have public reading of the scripture, they don't read what he write, but he didn't write anything. He read what Paul wrote. You understand? We live by faith, not by sight. By sight, we think bigger church is better. By sight, we think the one who is not locked up, like Peter, John, is better. But in reality, Paul is better. By sight, we see that Joshua is pity. He get cancer. But if his life was changed, from the eternity perspective, if your life was changed because of that, that's greater value. You'll be 100 times better than the one who sit beside you, called Moses. Because Joshua can take the people into the promised land, not Moses. You got that? Do you hear me? Okay, read it. 3:1, 4:1. 6:20. Donald.
For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. For which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should.
For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Life worthy of the calling you have received, and for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should.
For which is for the mystery of the gospel. For the mystery of the gospel, I am an ambassador in chain. For the mystery of the gospel, I am the prisoner. You got that? Okay, go back. God's salvation is God's gift. It's God's grace to us. We have to receive it by faith. According to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. When we receive it, we receive God's salvation, we become God's son. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Second, God's Spirit. We receive God's Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. And then we keep asking God to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation according to Ephesians 1:17, so that we may know Him better. Knowing God is not good enough. We know Him better. And Paul, the reason why Paul wanted to pray for us like that, because it is a special kind of grace, special kind of gift. It would do us very good. He wants us to be able to serve Him with wisdom, so that He pray for us, so that we receive spirit of wisdom and revelation, 1:17. When we have that spirit of wisdom and revelation, we will know God's hidden secret. That is the mystery of Christ. That is the mystery of Christ. What's the mystery of Christ? According to 3:16, I'm sorry, I should write this down in here. The mystery of Christ, according to 3:16, that the Gentile, through the gospel, the Gentile heir together, member, heir together with Israel, member together one body, and share it together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Point number three, God's ministry, God's service. Now I want to stop here. I want to sing that into your mind. Now in all Christian church, they only talk about this one, God's salvation and God's Son. Believe in Jesus Christ, you become children of God. They tell you it's by grace you have been saved through faith. They only emphasis on this one. This is kindergarten. Okay? This is kindergarten. This one, God's Spirit, this is high school. God's ministry, God's service, and God's servants, this is university. Do you got it? Don't tell me you are God's son and you are a lazy guy. Don't know God, and God, one of these days, Jesus Christ is going to say to you, I don't know you either. Then you'll be in deep trouble. What happened if Moses, if God saying to you, I don't know you? You go to hell. You'll be locked up. You'll be outside the gate of heaven. So we have to know him better. Know his will. Know his mystery. So that we can make known to the other people. Save the other people's life. By saying to the other people, saying to your friend, it's good to believe in Jesus. Then he say, how good? He say, well, just good. You can't explain it. He won't believe in you. Because you don't even know yourself. And one of these days, you may walk away from your faith. You understand? You got to know the reason why you should believe. You got to understand him and understand him better. Okay? Just like what Paul saying that. In reading my books, in reading my writing, you will be able to understand. I have a special insight into the mystery of Christ. Now you are God's son. You know God's will. You know God's hidden secret. You know God's mystery. Then you're ready to do ministry. You're ready to serve God, to become God's servant. Okay? Point number three. To be able to serve God is a gift of God. It's God's grace to you. You write that down? Chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We have to do it, because we are not only God's son, we are God's servant. Am I right? We have to go to the vineyard to serve God. Does it make sense? We have to go to the vineyard to serve God. We have to bear fruit and give fruit to our Lord Jesus when we see him face to face. Take a look at what Paul's writing. Chapter 3, you write that down. God's servant, chapter 3, verse 7. I became a servant of this gospel. I became God's servant by the gifts of God's grace given to me through the working of his power. I became a servant of this gospel by the gifts of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Through the working of his power. I want to go back. Chapter 2, verse 10. We are God's workmanship. God has to do a lot of work in our life before he can use us. First of all, we were all sinners before. Now he makes us become God's son by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? At first, we are controlled by the evil spirit. Now we are controlled by God's Holy Spirit. At first, when we come to know Christ, we don't know much about Jesus Christ because we keep asking the spirit of wisdom and revelation to reveal God's mystery to us. We get to know him better and better. Is that the working of his mighty power in our lives? And finally, right after we become a Christian, we are self-serving, we are self-centered, we only serve ourselves, and we want others to serve us. We have no idea that we have to serve others. Does that make sense? Now, he changed our life. He controlled this environment. He makes sure that our mindset are changed. Our thinking are changing. And then we are willing to serve God, to do God ministry. And whereas Moses want me to be locked up, that guy. And you want me to be a fat cat like you, right?
I'm not a fat cat.
Okay, you're not a fat cat. Then why you want me to be locked up?
Because you said it's better to, you know, be able to hear the voice of God than to run around.
By my teaching and by my preaching, do you not know that I have a special insight in the scripture?
I'm just saying that special insight might wear out. You might need to recharge.
Oh, man. So where's your friend?
Studying. No, doing homework.
And you don't have to do homework?
I'm done.
You're done. Good for you. Being able to serve God is God's grace. You write that down? Gospel of John 1:16. From the fullness of his grace and truth, we have received one blessing after another. Blessing number one, God's salvation. Blessing number two, God's spirit of wisdom and revelation. God's spirit, God's grace number three, and God's service. And we become God's servant to do God's ministry, to do God's work. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And if we refuse to do good work, then what will happen? What will happen? Moses, what will happen? If you refuse to do it,
You
not only lose the blessing, he will take away the grace that he has given it to you. According to Matthew chapter 25, he take it away from you and give it to the one that who has more. Could you write it down? Number 18, verse 7. Emily, could you read that? As a what?
A gift.
As a gift. As a grace, right? So being able to serve God is a gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God. The Holy Spirit that we receive from Him is a gift of God. And God's service, being able to serve God, is a gift of God. Do you understand? You know what? I just want you to think about that. God is almighty. How did He create the whole universe? Did He create the whole universe with our help? Or before we were created? He created the universe with His word, right? If He need anything to be done, all He has to do is say to it, and it's done. Why would He need Moses to do it? Joshua to do it? He honor you, give you grace, give you gifts so that you can serve Him. Just like when you were young, you see your daddy mowing the lawn, you say, oh, daddy, let me help you, you know. You pretend that you're mowing the lawn. Come on. You are just what? You're just playing around. Through the ministry, through the serving, we get to know what? We got to know Him better. You don't just know God by listening. You know God by serving Him. Through the suffering, through the hardship, through the pain, through the affliction, you get to know Him better. Does that make sense? So tell me 3 points. Being God's son is just the beginning. You have to know Him better. Once you know Him better, you better become His God's servant. Okay? Become His servant. Become God's servant. It is the gifts of God. If you say to me, I only want to receive the gifts of eternal life and stop it from there, He will discipline you if you are truly God's son. You will suffer so much, then you turn around to know Him better. And the more you know about Him, the more you're willing to serve Him. Am I making myself clear? Cloud, could you tell me what have you learned today? 3 points. Is it a burden to serve God? It is a blessing to be able to serve God. I know God better because I do a full-time ministry. You understand? By reading it, by understanding it. When I was an engineer, I studied the scripture diligently. Tell me, what have you learned, Carl?
I'm just trying to make sense of this.
Which part doesn't make sense?
The part you mentioned in Ephesians, in Galatians.
Galatians 3:3-5?
Yeah, 3-5. I asked you about the benefits of observing the law, and you referred to God's covenant to Abraham as that meaning the circumcision. Covenant between Abraham and God.
Okay,
circumcision is a sign of God's people, God setting them apart, God blessing them, and God's promise through the blessing of Abraham. And for Gentiles, the argument was...
Stop it there. I want you to read Romans chapter 2. Then you know the true meaning of circumcision. Circumcision by the Old Testament is only in the flesh. God's way is circumcision by the Spirit. In the heart.
Yeah.
By the Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. You read Romans chapter 2. So that means circumcision by the Holy Spirit in the heart, that means you receive God's Spirit.
Yeah.
Okay? Romans chapter 2, verse 28 to 29. You read that.
I know this. But that doesn't go to answer my original
No, you read that first.
A man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outwardly, outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart, but the spirit not by the written code. A man's praise is not from man, but from God.
Okay, in that time, in Genesis chapter 17, they obeyed God, observed the law. Observed the law for what? They thought observing the law, just doing circumcision. The rest of it, I don't have to do anything about that. And I met the God requirement. No. Paul said, no. You don't met God requirement, but just circumcision in the flesh. Circumcision in the heart by the Holy Spirit, you met God requirement. Because the Holy Spirit will empower you to observe the law. Yeah?
So it's not only circumcision.
They thought it's only circumcision. They thought only observe the Sabbath. You understand? Okay, I prove it to you. Look at Colossians. You take a look at the reading, you know, what Paul talking about to them. Then, while you're in Galatians, I want you to read Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 6, okay? Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 5. Read that, 2-6.
But by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love.
If you have circumcised, and yet you don't have faith, expressing itself through love. Your love towards brother and sister is because you have faith in God. You know that God will reward you. So that's why you have love. What kind is your action of love? That is faith. Because you believe that when I do this, when I love one another, I obey the commandment, I will receive blessing. Okay? The reason why you can love others, because you have the spirit of love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The fruit of the spirit is love. If you don't have the spirit, the Holy Spirit in you, you don't have any power to love others. You understand?
So how do I know that my service is driven not by fear of God?
You have to fear God. You have to fear God. You understand?
No, you're not understanding what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, how do I know that my service is driven out of fear for God, or if it's motivated by the Holy Spirit?
If you are motivated by the Holy Spirit, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, you fear God. So I don't know what you're talking about. You read that, Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2.
You're saying that once you're God's son, genuine faith, by being God's son, leads to service to God. Leads to service and become servant of God, right? That's genuine faith.
So it's unfortunate. You know what, Carl? In your life, you haven't suffered. When you suffer, you learn how to fear. If you never get a ticket from the police, you don't fear him. You talk back to him, he give you a double ticket, then you learn how to fear him. You go through a custom. If you be a proud man, you don't fear the custom officer, you talk back, he locked you up so that you miss the plane, next time you be quiet. We learn to be wise by fearing God. You read that, the Holy Spirit. The part of the Holy Spirit description is the fear of the Lord.
So isn't that what the Jews do? They observe the law because of their fear for God?
No, they don't fear God. They do not fear God.
Then why do they comply with the law?
They comply to the law, they thought, just circumcision.
they do the service thing.
Well, what's the point then?
What? They feel proud about
that. They want salvation, right? They do this for salvation.
Yeah? They do it for salvation, yeah? They thought they are saved by circumcision.
So that's the basis of my question. It's not about fear.
No, same.
By myself not having endured any trouble or any pain, I just want to understand how and where do you draw the line between what is true service and what
Carl,
is fake service?
Carl, you read that Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2 first, okay? Because unfortunately, you don't have enough Word of God within your mind. You only use your mindset to try to understand God's things, okay? You read Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. Verse 1 and 2. In your understanding, that you think being God's son, automatically you get this, you get that. No, you don't get that.
Israelite
is God's son.
I didn't say that.
Okay?
Isaiah 11, chapter 11, verse 1.
11, 1 and 2.
A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, his roots, a branch, will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord.
How did God describe His Spirit? You say, am I driven by this Holy Spirit, or am I driven by the fear of the Lord? If you are driven by the fear of the Lord, you drive by the Holy Spirit, my friend. Do you understand? That's why you keep arguing, because you don't read that.
I didn't read it.
That's what I'm trying to say to you. Because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit fill you, you fear God. That is His description.
So what you say is the Jews don't actually fear God?
No, they don't fear God. Yep, you're right. So that's why.
Everything in the Old Testament is around fearing the Lord.
And love the Lord. Both sides. Both sides of the coin. And Paul and Moses talk about that in Deuteronomy. Two things. Emphasize these two things numerous times. Solomon in Proverbs talk about fear God and love God.
But they're not mutually exclusive. If you fear the Lord, you have to love the Lord.
Yeah.
So,
how
do you separate it?
How do they separate? Because the Jewish people, they love to believe in false prophets. The false prophet departmentalize it. Same as the pastor nowadays. They departmentalize. Well, you know what? How did they departmentalize? They departmentalize salvation is by grace. Salvation is by grace through faith. You become God's son. He keep talking about that numerous times. If you want to get glory and crown, you start to serve God. He didn't tell you have to memorize Bible verses. He didn't tell you have to keep asking the Spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. And that's why a lot of Christians being ignorant. They love to believe what the pastor say. I got enough already. What are you talking about? I don't need to grow. I have salvation by grace through faith. And I'm stopping there. And I refuse to grow. Just keep asking the pastor, leave me alone. Don't force me. Don't tell me to do anything. It's by grace. That's exactly how the Israelites do. I give you a few things. And you read that. Isaiah 48. You want to know the mindset? Because there's four prophets in the Old Testament. They believe in the false prophet. They refuse to grow. They listen to false teaching. Isaiah 48, 22. You read that.
There is no peace of the Lord for the wicked.
But what did the false prophet say? What did false prophet say? Do you know? Isaiah 57, verse 21. I want you to read that one more time.
There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked.
Okay. God say it twice through Isaiah, right? There's no peace for the wicked, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
That's God say. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
And listen to what false prophets say. Jeremiah chapter 23, 16 to 17.
This is what the Lord Almighty says. Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds.
Not from the mouth of the Lord, that means not from the word of God. Isaiah 48:22. And then what do they say? They keep saying what? What do they say?
Keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord says you will have peace.
What do they say? They oppose the Lord. They oppose the word of the Lord. They oppose everything from the mouth of God. They don't need to grow. Why do I need to grow? They say you have peace already. Carl, when you go to my church, do you have to grow?
Yeah.
You go to another church, you don't need to grow. You thought you know enough already.
No, you still have to grow. And the reason I say that is because you won't be around forever. So what happens after you move on? I still have to grow.
How did you grow? If you don't come here to study, how did you grow? You tell me, how did you grow?
I have to memorize some scripture.
How do you know that you have memorized scripture? You don't even memorize scripture. Mm-hmm. Who tell you to memorize scripture? Your previous pastor? Or from me?
The Bible.
From the Bible. But do you know that you have to memorize scripture?
Yeah.
Did you? Did you do it before?
Try my best.
I don't think you did it.
I don't.
Try your best is not good enough. You don't do it. But just saying to try your best is not good enough. You're not doing it. You know, just like what Jesus say, a father has two sons. Say to the elder son, get into my vineyard to do work. He say no. And later on he repent and do it. The younger son say, yeah, I love to do it. I try my best, but he never did it. So who do the will of the Father? Mm-hmm. Carl, who do the will of the Father?
The obedient son.
The obedient son, the eldest one, the repentant one. Did you do it? You don't. You should repent. You got that? Fear the Lord, man. I suffer enough. You want to suffer? You go ahead. I spare you from affliction. I spare you from pain. Look at my daughter. I spare her the pain. She learned it in a good way. Like father, like son, man. You don't have a good teacher, you be wishy-washy, man. If someone asks me the scripture, I can tell you from my heart. I memorize it. And you know, deep in your mind, how do I know? So that's why a lot of people, you are not a special one. You are just the norm. A lot of Christians are like that. How do I know I serve the Lord? It's not driven by fear of the Lord or driven by the Holy Spirit. They, deep in their mind, they say, wow, the Holy Spirit is gentle spirit. Leave me alone at the right time. I want to do it, then I do it. That is their thinking. They don't know that. If you are truly filled with the Holy Spirit, you're filled with the spirit of fear of the Lord. You fear God. And on top of that, when you do the work, the ministry of God, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you should feel with power to do it. And you know what to do. You understand? Because spirit is spirit of power. Spirit of understanding, spirit of knowledge, and spirit of wisdom. Right?
You know what? That's why a lot of pastors, when they tell people to do it, they don't do it. They can't say anything because they don't memorize it. They just can't answer. And next time, they back off. They know to serve God is good, but they don't know the reason behind. When people fight back, they back off. That's why I'm saying, don't tell me that you have God's salvation. I tell you what it is. You read it carefully. Romans chapter 9, 10, 11. That's the history of Israelite. They're in the wilderness. They think they have God's salvation. They think they're God's son. And they refuse to offer themselves as a living sacrifice to God. They live their own life. They do their own thing. You know what happened? They end up dying in the wilderness. So that's why in chapter 12, in view of God's mercy, I urge you to offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Otherwise, you follow the very footstep of Israelite. Paul is a good man. But not very many people understand what he's talking about. He's using chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11. The suffering of the Jewish people. From Moses' time until now. To learn that lesson so that don't follow his footsteps. Because why? They listen to the false prophet. You know what false prophet say? Keep reading. I haven't finished reading it. Jeremiah chapter 23. The false prophets saying to those who despise the Lord and saying that the Lord say, it's not what I say. He said, the Lord say, you will have peace. If you despise God and still have peace, I said, you have no peace. The wicked has no peace. But the false prophet say, no, God is good God. He still gives you peace. But the reality is they have no peace. What else do they say? And to all who follow the stubbornness of their heart, they say, no harm will come to you. Because God is good. How can it come to you harm? Come on. You're God's son, man. You know what? If my father is good, if I disobey him, he's going to discipline me. No harm will come to you. Are you kidding? Are you kidding me? If you are illegitimate son, your stepfather won't touch you. He'll leave you alone. But we are not illegitimate son. We are legal son of God. He will discipline us. But the false prophets say, no, you have peace, don't worry. Just be happy. Do your own thing. Say to those who despise the Lord, say to those who are stubborn, follow the stubbornness of their heart, they say, no harm will come to you. You know, if I were the congregation, who do I love to follow? Do I love to follow this guy or follow Jeremiah? Of course I follow this false prophet until I suffer. I say, what is going on? Why, you know, why you lie to me? He say, oh, I just want to earn for a living. You know what? If I say to you, Carl, do your own thing, get married, be happy, do your own thing, don't have to serve God. You say, Pastor John, you're a good pastor. You won't ask me any question because you fully understand. You love it. But now you ask, because the conflict in your mind. You know what I mean? You have a question?
No.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I just think it's unfair because, you know, we've all been coming for a year, so we all understand this already. And, I mean, if you want to come a year later and you want to catch up, I don't think you should be wasting everybody's time.
No, I don't think so. I think there's a lot of people are thinking this way. A lot. Moses, you are thinking this way too, but just that you don't ask.
No, absolutely not.
I think if you understand it, you don't need to come to Bible study. I think you can understand it all. You can take your time, you know, spend it at home with whoever you want.
Yeah, because
if you know it all, I mean, you should be teaching.
Actually,
right?
I don't know it all, but I come
well,
here.
Well, then
to
ask
grow.
Questions, right?
Yeah, I come here to grow.
Yeah.
Well, then
and
roll through the questions. Roll through the
and
questions.
Because
if you know the answers to my questions, Moses, and if you think that my questions are wasting your time.
Next time you answer the question,
answer
then, okay?
Your questions are absolutely a waste of time because we've been here for a year, and then a year later you start coming. Like, we've been talking for 25 minutes here now. 25 minutes times how many people?
Okay.
No,
hold on a second. Moses, hold on a second. I think that question is an excellent question. Listen to me carefully. When I read the four Gospels, I say to the apostle, how come you people don't understand Jesus and don't even ask questions? They pretended to understand, but they don't understand. How do I know they don't understand? By the action. I know that they don't understand. If they truly understand God, their life be changed. Just like what he say, you'll be helping me to serve the young people already. Not once a month.
You're sitting in the back seat there,
once a week, right. And help me to serve.
I
because
you owe me an apology, buddy.
Apology? Yeah.
I think you owe me an apology. Because you're just sitting in the back seat, chatting away, all right? I'm asking questions.
Yeah.
I want to know more.
Okay.
All right? But that's me.
Yeah,
I like to ask questions because I'm inquisitive.
Okay.
But don't blame me for it.
Sure.
Nobody blame you for that. Okay, now.
Jesus is blaming me for that.
Yeah.
He's accusing me of wasting everybody's time here. He's saying that my questions have no value because Pastor John's covering everything for everybody. But listen, if you're that good, I want to see you serve, and I want to see you lead by example.
I do,
all right? Sir. Not just like smack talk.
Yeah.
No one needs that. It's discouraging.
You know that?
And it's very insulting.
You know, okay. Put it this way. I don't want you guys teeth for teeth, eyes for eyes. It is good to watch each other's feet. Okay? Just like what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not, lest you be judged. If I say he's no good, prove it to yourself, you're better. And that's good. That's why we wash each other's feet. I say, wow, your feet stink. If I say your feet stink, how come you don't wash my feet? Wash it clean, then it won't stink. You understand? If a member, we are all members. If one member suffer, the whole body suffer. If I chop up one finger, it's only one finger. One part of the finger, the whole body feels sick. Okay, we are all members. Okay? Learn from it, okay?
His point was just like if you have more questions, then sometimes it might be better if you went up to PJ by yourself
to get
personal answers.
There's no need for name calling, and there's no need for pointing the finger, all right? There's no need for pointing the finger, Miriam.
Yeah.
That's
fine. Yeah.
Just let him talk.
That's okay if you think that he can
be
better.
Okay. Listen to me very carefully, okay? Do you know what's the reason why we study the Bible? What's the main reason?
To know God more, know God better.
To know God better, to know God more? What is God? God is what? 4:8. 1 John. Could someone read that to me? To know God better, to know God more, come on. God is what? God is what? Chapter 4, verse 8. What is that?
Love.
God is love. What is love? Love means I sacrifice for you. I waste my time for you. I waste my time for you. That is love. You know what? Some parents, you know. I remember one elder. You know, at that time he didn't have any child. I heard him saying that he teach the parents say, you know, if your kid don't want to eat anything, you don't have to chase after them. And I say to him, you don't even have any child. You don't have even any child. If that is your own child, if your child is sick and don't feel like eating, you chase after him. Does it make sense? That child wasting his mother time, but he's still chasing after him to feed him. That is love. I study the Bible because I want to learn God's love. I'm willing to sacrifice my time for you guys. You got that? And I want you to do the same to the other people. Does it make sense? You know what? Now go back. Go back to chapter 2, the end. Chapter 2, verse 21 to 22. And what did God say? In him, the whole building is joined together and rise up together to become a temple of God in the Lord. The entire church has to go together. If one part of the living stone don't grow, that becomes a gap. Satan gonna attack him or her, and through him or her, attack the whole church. Even the whole building is well insulated. If I break the window, if that body part is broken, the entire house is cold, man. You got that? The whole house, the whole temple has to grow together. If one part do not come a year earlier, you people come a year earlier, and some people come later, we still have to feed them. You got that? Look at it from my perspective. If one part suffer, all suffer. That's why I'm so upset. Those second generation, they don't even come to learn the Bible. I'm so upset. You understand? And you will regret by the time when you have children. Okay? Because you don't know enough Bible to teach your children. You have no authority. When your parent teaching you this kind of stuff, or even Key teaching you, Stephen teaching you, you're going to talk to him the way that you talk to me, he's going to be shut up because he doesn't know enough Bible to talk to you. Then you say, that's why you keep arguing and without growing. You talk to me, good for you, man. I show you the Bible. I show you the way. And I want you guys to be learned, to be changed, to be like me. You got that? Does it make sense? Okay, so we pray. You know what? It is good. Today's lesson is very, very fruitful. It's a life application. We study Bible so as to know God better. Knowing God in reality is what? Love one another. For God is what? Joshua? Okay, good boy. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to understand your Bible clearly. I know that we are attacked by Satan, but in reality, we grow through attack, through persecution, so that we know your scripture. We know it well. Lord, I pray that you help us not only be your son, help us to know you better, to love one another, and to serve one another, to wash one another's feet. And that's how we grow, by questioning, by challenging, and then our life be changed. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.